Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks so much for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Austin Rodas, owner of Dream Nutrition in Rushville, Indiana, and host of the upcoming Dream Nutrition Open House and Networking Night in October. We'll also hear from Midwest Hemp Council Treasurer Jamie Campbell Petty, as well as Midwest Hemp Council President Justin Swanson. And Jamie will be talking about the upcoming field days and other hemp events and networking nights that you don't want to miss. Should be a great show. So let's get started with our guest, Austin Rodas with Dream Nutrition in Rushville. Austin, great to have you back on the program again.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Now, I know today, as a matter of fact, talking with you, you were up in Carmel, Indiana at the Waters Corporation with the testing and analysis program. Did you learn anything out of that, Austin?
Yeah, I tried to grasp everything that they were going over. That's very high level information about analytical labs and kind of their processes. But yeah, definitely learned a lot about how the industry is moving towards some type of standardization within analytical labs. So as with everything else, you know, CBD, hemp and fiber and grain and all these different concepts and different routes you can go with hemp, the labs are the same way as they're just kind of conforming to the industry. So yeah, learned a lot about how they're trying to standardize the process and kind of create a level playing field across different labs, and then also how that directly affects programs like our hemp program here in Indiana, how that affects the state lab testing equipment and different things like that. So it was a wonderful, very informative morning.
Now, Austin, we brought you on today to talk about the big news of the week. A federal judge has thrown out Indiana's ban on smokable hemp, calling it unconstitutional for states to ban one type of hemp. So, again, a big week for small business owners in Indiana. Certainly should help the economy lifting that ban.
Yeah, it's definitely a big win. I think it's a pretty hot topic, and depending on your position and your current seat, it's a good thing. I think for us, it's definitely very appetizing from an economic standpoint. Yeah, so we're trying to figure out how to navigate this properly as, you know, as we engage legislature and the state and then the businesses, right? So it's really, there's a lot of different approaches, a lot of moving parts with this, but I think that, you know, the challenge really was about language and being in conformance with federal law. It was in the topic was smokable hemp, but really the overall macro view is being in conformance with federal laws that relates to treating hemp like any other crop. So I think the danger was really adopting a more narrow definition than what the federal government provides. And that just happened to be pertaining to hemp. So I think that we took the route that we thought was going to give our desired outcome. We definitely wanted to be professional about this topic. And we had a lot of legislators that worked very hard during session to give us a good bill. And we got a good bill. We just had a little bit more education to do on Senate Bill 516 and some of the specific parameters, such as the smokable hemp. And I think we simply ran out of a little bit of time in session to get that done. And then we just kind of had to move into, you know, what our other options were after session to get another look at that. So that's kind of where we stand. But I think as far as small businesses and small farmers in Indiana go, it's a big win for them when it comes to growing hemp.
Well, it's certainly understandable from a law enforcement perspective, the problems that arises with that. But as you said, at some point, a decision had to be made. A lot of education and logistics go into this sort of thing. And of course, one of the big problems would be if the flower is illegal in Indiana, that would cause a problem for somebody transporting it from, say, Ohio to Illinois, having to pass through Indiana. So logistical things like that, I think, came into play there. But again, the ruling was you can't keep one form of hemp illegal while the rest of it is legal. So again, positive and moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's very positive. And, you know, our interest has been and always will continue to be encouraging the full economic impact of hemp as a crop in the Midwest. And it was, we always look forward to being solution based. So I think with something as such, you know, a topic of smokable hemp, we understand the issues that could arise from smokable hemp being a product, but we want to focus on solving those issues so that we can still engage the industry versus kind of cutting that product out. So I think for us, you know, one of the reasons why we went to this meeting this morning at Waters Corporation, and, you know, thank you to them for putting that on, is because we need more education. How can we decipher between hemp and marijuana? Because those are two completely different plants, right? They're two completely different products. One is a compliant legal product in Indiana, and one is not. So it just comes down to, what are those solutions? What do those solutions look like? And how do we help our state get there? And I think that's where we really want to offer our assistance in helping the state come up with these solutions and just really being a team player. I think that, you know, there was definitely no hostility or anything in this lawsuit. It was just simply the only way that we knew to challenge that language again. And I think that, you know, once we got that ruling that it technically is unconstitutional, that just kind of showed that it wasn't something we were just trying to ruffle feathers. It was just a true concern for the, you know, economic impact here in Indiana to move forward. So I look forward to working with the state on a solution that best fits both the state and our farmers here in Indiana.
We are speaking with Austin Rodas, the president and CEO of Dream Nutrition. And Austin, a lot of positive things happening in Indiana right now with the hemp community. We've had some great field days, some networking events. Dream Nutrition has another networking and education opportunity coming up here in October at your Rushaville location. Give us some of those details. And more importantly, I do understand tickets are still available, even though they're going quickly, I would assume.
Correct. Yeah. So we will actually be doing an open house, and this will be kind of in conjunction with Midwest Hemp Council on October 10th in our Rushaville facility. The address is 310 South Union Street, Rushaville, Indiana, 46979. And that will be from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. that night. We will have an open house networking night. We plan to have some live music, some little snacks, and then just really encouraging networking within the industry. I think that one of the most valuable aspects and of us being members of Midwest Hemp Council thus far has been the networking nights. I think we, as a business, have got a lot of value from that. It's been a really good ROI from our membership. Just meeting other, you know, for us, engaging in other farmers and engaging with other retail places and places that want to carry product, or people that might need seedlings or clones or different products that we provide, you know, kind of filling in those gaps. So that's what we want to do. We want to just kind of open our facility up, let people take a look, come in and hang out, have a good time, and just really celebrate what we've done within hemp here in Indiana this year so far.
And Austin, I know you attend a majority of the events that have been put on here in Indiana. What are you seeing, or say back in January, February, some of those events till now? You've obviously got to be seeing a lot of new faces. What kind of vibe are you getting out there? Are these people that are getting involved and staying involved, or are they kind of poking their nose in to see what's up and then you don't see them again?
I'm seeing excitement, which in turn gets us very excited. And I think that is very fulfilling. There's a lot of us that have been working for a long time to bring this to Indiana at scale. And there are a lot of new faces. There are people engaging in this industry. We had a mini open house facility tour that we did last Monday. We had people from Chicago. We had people from Ohio. We had people from Kentucky come up, from Michigan, just to come see our facility and see what we're doing here and see how different parts of the supply chain work and where can people integrate in and what do the buyers look like. And so it's very exciting to see this actually coming here to Indiana. And, you know, we're talking about multiple seven-figure investments here in Indiana that are coming in from out of state that really have an appetite to engage in the industry here. So in comparison from, you know, January, February of this year to now, rapid increase in just the sheer number of people engaging in these events, and also just more and more continued excitement, a lot of momentum that's really moving forward. And we're all coming into harvest time here too. So just another thing to be excited about. And, you know, get the plants out of the ground and see how everything went and move on to next year. So a lot of excitement. It's really been fun. And yeah, we're just looking forward to what the future looks like.
And these new faces that you're seeing popping up, are these people interested in processing, or are these the farmers themselves, or just a mix and a variety?
I think the majority is going to be farmers. I think that really, you know, the big reason why we've all been fighting for this is diversified agriculture in Indiana. You know, our farmers are needing to diversify outside of corn and soybeans. I don't think that those are crops that we're ever going to turn off, but I just think we simply want to turn on another crop and integrate that in. So a lot of interest from farmers and some process people that want to process. And just like I said, engage in other parts of the industry throughout the supply chain. That's where a lot of those kind of external investments and economic impact comes in. A lot of entrepreneurs, business owners that are wanting to open stores or somehow sell products or maybe start their own brand, manufacture, different things like that. Really from top to bottom, there's a very diverse group of people that are engaging currently. And it's really exciting to see.
Now, Austin, the last time we had you on the program, you had talked about you guys recently moved from a 3,000 square foot facility in Kokomo out to your current 44,000 square foot facility in Rushaville. I bet you're kind of enjoying showing your new digs off there at these events.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's very exciting for us. We have a lot of work to do here. We're looking to take over about 37,000 square feet of this area here and start really getting deep into renovations and, making this a long-term facility for us and a long-term fit. So, yeah, it's been fun. It's definitely exciting to show people and kind of have the vision come to fruition to show everybody else. And, so we finished up our lab. We're currently manufacturing all of our products in-house, all of our oils. Some of our patches are still licensed out of state, but our products are being made here. We're setting up our room to dry our crop here and, just putting in a lot of work to the facility and it'd be exciting to bring some of this economy back to, a town like Rushaville here. Good, nice rural area.
Once again, Austin Rodas, President and CEO of Dream Nutrition in Rushaville, Indiana. Check out that field day coming up soon. Just a few spaces left, so make sure you get your reservation in now. And you can get that information on the MidwestHempCouncil.com website. Also, Austin, how can folks get a hold of you or see more of what you have to offer there in Rushaville?
Sure. So our website is DreamNutrition.com, and Dream is spelled with two E's. You can check out our website that has links to all of our social media channels. If there are people that are looking for kind of deep cannabinoid education on the product side and kind of what we're doing on the farming side, you can check us out on YouTube. That's also Dream Nutrition. We've tried to put up some videos and open up our operation to other people. We'll be setting up our drying room this weekend, and I think we're going to film that so we can let everybody know just kind of what we're looking at for humidity and drying and try to provide value to farmers. So YouTube and our website, and then all of our social channels are on our website. And you can engage with us there. Also, our email is info@dreamnutrition.com. You can reach us there as well.
And, you know, one thing I will point out, I always look forward to your live Facebook post. Mm-hmm. I mean, you definitely give out a lot of great information, basically just answering the questions of the viewers and a lot of great questions, but you certainly do get a lot of response on there.
Yeah, it's all about providing value for us. So, you know, it's I'm not concerned with keeping everything in-house and not sharing it. We're an open book. We try to tell people exactly how we do everything, answer people's questions. And again, our focus is providing value. So if, you know, just like our harvest is coming up next week, instead of going out and trying to find, you know, people that are doing everyday farm work or farm hands, we made a post on Facebook to try to engage the people that are following us to come help us harvest. You know, let some people that use the products, that follow the brand and follow us and have supported us, come touch the plants, come learn how it works. And, you know, we try to, again, just provide value to our consumers and the people that we do business with. And so the live platform is a great place to answer questions. And we try to base our marketing and our business and our education off of what consumers are actually wanting to know versus what we assume that they would like to know.
All right, once again, that's dreamnutrition.com, and that's with two E's, D-R-E-E-M, nutrition.com. Austin Rodas. Austin, always a pleasure to talk with you. I'm sure we'll have you back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jason. It was good chatting.
All right, as we continue on with the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, it's time to talk with Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson. Justin, once again, thanks for being on the program today.
Anytime, Jason. Thanks for hosting.
Oh, absolutely. And we're here today to talk about USDA hemp regulations. Can you give us an update on where we are with those?
So, the Hemp Industry Daily reported that the draft regulations got submitted to the White House for final approval. So once the White House signs off on those, we could see finally some clear guidance from the USDA on what state plans should look like. And also, more importantly, I think, Jason, it's ideally going to take care of this ongoing testing issue we have, not just in Indiana, but in the rest of the states.
And speaking of regulatory and legislative items with Indiana Hemp, the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting coming up September 23rd, that's from 9 to noon at the Hendricks County Fairgrounds in Danville, Indiana. Again, another opportunity, as we discussed, for people to get involved and see what goes on kind of on the legislative side and getting all this organized.
That's exactly right. And I think Monday's meeting is going to be pretty important. Because we're going to be discussing kind of testing protocols. So we want to ensure that we have farmer-friendly regulations while also carefully balancing law enforcement concerns. And ideally, as I mentioned before with the USDA regulations, ideally we're going to have some federal guidance on what states should be doing on a state-by-state basis. And that way it doesn't depend on whether you're farming in Indiana or Kentucky or Ohio or Illinois, everyone's going to have the same testing protocol, and that way no farmer is either going to be at a disadvantage or another farmer is going to be at an advantage based on how they're, how many inches they're cutting off the plant, whether they homogenize the sample before they test it. Again, ideally, we're going to have some strong guidance from the federal government on what the proper testing procedure looks like for our farmers.
Once again, we encourage everybody to get out to that meeting just to check it out and see what goes on. That's the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting on September 23rd, coming up next week. Staying on the legal side, we've got Mitch McConnell introducing a bill regarding CBD in food products. Tell us a little bit about that, Justin.
So this is probably one of the biggest gray areas in the industry right now on whether or not you can put CBD in food products and drinks. We have a lot of breweries here in Indiana that are experimenting with this. I know of a lot of chefs in the area that want to start incorporating CBD into their food. And currently FDA's outward-facing public stance on this is that's not permissible under federal law. And these foods that have CBD in them cannot be introduced into interstate commerce, as a food additive or a dietary supplement. So this stance by the FDA has always had a huge chilling effect on the market, especially for the more institutional businesses that have been around and that are looking to incorporate hemp into their existing products. So the language that was introduced was in the U.S. Senate Appropriations Subcommittee yesterday. And they're doing what's essentially called a markup, where they sit down in a room and figure out, where everyone stands on the language and how it can be improved and what needs to be removed. And we're expecting a full committee vote tomorrow, ideally. And really what this is going to do, Jason, is going to do an about face for the FDA on their outward stance and require them to come up with some regulations on what that looks like to allow CBD in food products to enter interstate commerce. So this is a really big deal. And Senator McConnell is the leader in the Senate, and he's been a huge advocate for the hemp industry really since his work on the 2014 Farm Bill. I mentioned his status as being leader because that's important. Usually when the leader speaks, people listen. So we're very excited to see him get this across the finish line.
And how advantageous is it for the hemp industry to have a guy, the actual leader of the Senate from Kentucky, a very hemp-friendly state?
yeah, I mean, I don't think any of this gets done without him, without Senator McConnell pushing this forward. He even sat down on the conference committee for the 2018 Farm Bill to ensure that the language he wanted ended up as law, and he was successful. So it's a really big deal to have someone in leadership like that pushing it. We encourage everybody to contact your congressman and your senators here in Indiana and let them know that you support the language.
All right, and anytime we talk about a new industry and economics, the word taxes always come up. There is a hearing on October 15th to talk about taxing CBD products. What makes CBD products different from any other products as far as taxation, or is there any difference?
That's a great question, Jason, and that's one we're hoping to get to the bottom of. My biggest fear right now is that CBD being lumped in with the vaping controversy and some of the deaths and sicknesses that are happening in Indiana currently. So it's really our goal to make sure that legislators understand that it's not the CBD, it's not the THC that's causing the illness or causing the deaths. It's really about kind of the filler that people use in these vaping products. I've heard stories of a lot of these sicknesses are coming from people who are essentially modifying their vape pen and kind of putting in their own potion, you know, buying it from somebody who's making it in their basement. So that's a great question. And really, I think some lawmakers view CBD, they want to treat it like a syntax, so treat it like alcohol or cigarettes. And that's certainly not something we want to go down the path for. So we're hoping we can help educate everybody on that October meeting.
And that's why we also certainly encourage people to go to reputable CBD outlets to purchase their CBD products. And we have several of those here in Indianapolis as well as Indiana. And that's why you don't order something off the internet. You certainly don't buy it on the street from somebody who says, hey, here's what's in this. And that comes down to the labeling, the packaging, things like that. So there's a lot of people you can go and get these products from that are reputable people. And you can find them on the Midwest Hemp Council website, for instance, and just do your homework. You can find these reputable places and you don't have to worry about those problems.
That's right. And just to remind our listeners, in Senate Old Act 516, we had language in there at one point in the bill that would have required testing for heavy metals, pesticides, and residual solvents in the CBD product to make sure that they are at or below basically a safe threshold. That was ultimately rejected, unfortunately. So we're hoping we can continue the discussions to help, you know, require additional testing to make sure that consumers understand what they're putting in their body and to make sure that companies who are selling these products, making sure that they are safe to be consumed by humans.
All right. Midwest Hemp Council President, as well as Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose McKinney and Evans, Justin Swanson. Justin, anything else we can add to the program this week?
No, I just encourage everybody to stay involved. You know, we're not going to have a great regulatory system if we don't have people who are actively participating in the market, providing feedback. We don't know everything, so we're always looking for feedback and expertise on people. So just really encourage you guys to stay involved.
All right, Justin, thanks for the updates. We will look forward to having you back on the program soon.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, next up on the program, Midwest Hemp Council Treasurer Jamie Campbell Petty. Jamie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jason.
And great to have you back on the program. I know you, you've got a lot of stuff going on, so it's always great to be able to shoehorn you in here. Today, as a matter of fact, right now as we speak, I know you've stepped outside. You've got some testing and analysis program education going on up at the Waters Corporation in Carmel. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on with that?
It's really exciting, Jason. A few of us had heard the Waters presentation along with ProVerde Labs in Kentucky a couple months ago. And they are very generously opened their doors to us today. Extended invitations went to Midwest Hemp Council members as well as, and who are in attendance, as well as representatives from Purdue Extension, Office of the Indiana State Chemist, as well as the Indiana State Police and the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee. We also have representative Chris Judy and Representative Bob Morris here. So we have a room full of very much invested stakeholders, and we are learning from the best with the chemical makeup of cannabis, and then all of the testing that's required and discussion of how to improve that as we move forward. We're really excited to have had Dr. Chris from ProVerity Labs pipe in from Massachusetts. So great day that I think will help us all as we move forward with our regulation.
Well, the ongoing education just never really ends when it comes to hemp. Just so much to learn and grasp out there. And we've got you on here today to talk about some of the events coming up. But before we do that, let's recap a couple of events that happened last week. On Friday, I know you were in Logansport with a third wave field day. Just this recent Tuesday, Thrive Well by Cocaline in Seymour. Break those two events down for us.
Great, Jason. Yeah, Friday in Logansport, we had over 100 people. It was a public field day and hosted by Third Wave Farms and Midwest Hemp Council, where we were able to view a portion of, it was a total of 400 acres of CBD being grown. And people were able to feel, touch, smell these CBD plants, as well as enjoying wonderful education experience from Dr. Sean Lucas from Kentucky and Dr. Voigt from Vermont. They're part of Third Wave Farms Advisory. So that was a really enjoyable day. And then on Monday, Tuesday, we were in Seymour. Thrive Well by Cocaline had a private field day. And we were happy to have hosted the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee, as well as people from the Department of Ag, Midwest Hemp Council members, and enjoyed spending time with them, learning about how they're going to unfold their operation for processing and their focus on quality and transparency and making sure that farmers come first. So we're really excited that we've had all of these opportunities to provide education and networking.
All right. And then coming up, something we've been talking about quite a bit here on the program the last few weeks, the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee meeting. And that's coming up Monday, September 23rd from 9 to noon at the Hendricks County Fairgrounds in Danville, Indiana. Another opportunity to kind of see what goes on in the legislative side of things regarding hemp.
Yes, we're looking forward to that. And if you are a stakeholder, we encourage you to come out and participate.
All right. And then we jump into October on Saturday, October 5th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Hempcrete Seminar. We had this conversation about hempcrete a couple of weeks ago in replacement of concrete. That was a very interesting conversation. And this will be a hands-on opportunity for people to get out there and find out what hempcrete is all about.
Yes, we're excited for that. And we have already sold out one session, and the second session only has a few seats left. So I encourage everyone to get to the website and sign up quickly.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about hempcrete is that, of course, we talk constantly about CBD oils and flower and different things like that and products for sale. But this is a completely, just out of left field, a completely different product regarding hemp that, again, could result in a lot of businesses, a lot of people making money.
That's true. And it is. And once again, it's something that's been implemented in Europe, especially in the UK. You see a lot of homes that are made with hempcrete. And we do now have several within the United States. But it is new. It's especially new to Indiana. So now's the time to get that education and learn about the new opportunities we have with the industrial uses of hemp.
And then on October 10th, we have the Dream Nutrition Open House, a networking night. We just had Austin Rodas on talking a little bit about this. That sounds like it's going to be a great night. And tickets are still available, I understand.
They are. And we are excited. Most of our networking events, for a variety of reasons, have taken place in the Indianapolis area. And we feel this is a fabulous opportunity to move north and encourage those who can't always make it down to Indianapolis to join, let alone the fact you get to see the home of Dream. And as we all know, Dream Nutrition has been a huge supporter of not only hemp, the industry within Indiana, but Midwest Hemp Council as well. So we're really looking forward to partner with them and spend the evening with members and others who would like to come out and meet us.
And the final topic for today, Jamie, is the Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show coming up in November. And people do still have time to sign up for that one as well.
Yes, of course, we are very excited about this. November 16th and 17th, Saturday, will be a day of hemp agronomy, and Sunday is more of a focus on the business side, from grant opportunities to banking issues to crop insurance. And we're pulling together a lot of leaders from within the Midwest and then some throughout the country. You're going to have lessons learned from Indiana and Illinois farmers, as well as research presentations from Purdue, Kentucky. So we're excited about this here to bring it to the crossroads. And we are encouraging people to sign up soon. And also, if you go to hempatthecrossroads.com, not only can you register to attend, but you'll see that we have sponsorship opportunities still available. We have sold out some of our sponsorship spaces, but we are seeking partners. It's what it takes for us to put these types of educational events on. So there are sponsorship opportunities, and we also still have booth space remaining. So we encourage everyone to go to hempatthecrossroads.com and get registered, and also reach out to us if you have some specific ideas or you wish to be engaged and perhaps volunteer, or you don't see things on the website that, you know, you feel that you can contribute.
And of course, again, people can get more information from the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. Just a ton of events going on. Do we expect a lot of these events to continue on through the winter?
We do, Jason. We're talking to Purdue right now regarding the Hort Congress that will happen in February, I believe it is, and Small Farms in March. And of course, we will continue to have our networking events. In January, we know that our friends and neighbors, iHemp in Michigan, are hosting a conference, and that will be on our website soon. That information will be available. And as we hear of other opportunities, we'll share those.
All right. Once again, Jamie Campbell Petty, treasurer of the Midwest Hemp Council. Jamie, always a pleasure to have you on the program. And is there anything else we needed to hit on?
I think that's it for today, Jason, but thanks a lot.
All right. Fantastic. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
That is going to do it for our show this week. The Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, or become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and we'll see you next time, everybody.